So a reading from Paul's first letter to the church at Philippi, chapter 1, verses 3 through 11. These verses contain warmth, gratitude, and an overflowing prayer. Let us listen together for God's word. I thank my God every time I remember you, constantly praying with joy in every one of my prayers for all of you, because of your sharing in the gospel from the first day until now. I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work among you will bring it to completion by the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to think this way about all of you, because you hold me in your heart, for all of you sharing God's grace with me, both in my imprisonment and in defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I long for all of you with the compassion of Jesus Christ. And this is my prayer, that your love may overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight to help you to determine what is best, so that in the day of Christ you may be pure and blameless. Having produced the harvest of the righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ for the glory and praise of God. May God bless this reading and hearing.
A scholar once wrote that the characteristic note of Paul's letter to the church at Philippi is above all a note of joy. Even though Paul is writing his letter while he's in prison, even though the church that he founded in Philippi is experiencing internal divisions and external persecutions, still, in spite of all of that, joy bubbles up within Paul. Joy bubbles up within Paul because of his understanding, his joy over God's great love for us all in Jesus Christ. Joy bubbles up within Paul for the past relationship that he has shared with the Philippians that's resulted in wonderful ministry. Joy bubbles up within Paul for his present relationship with them that's sustaining him even though he's in prison and while he's in prison. And joy bubbles up within Paul for the expectation he has, based on their past, based on their present, that their future will continue to see a convergence of their heads and their hearts combining together in such a way that their love overflows more and more for the praise and glory of God. From chapter 1, verse 1 through chapter 4, verse 23, the characteristic note of this letter is one of joy, a joy that's rooted in Christ, that's growing out of his relationship with this community, and that eclipses even the worst things that this world has to offer. The letter is about joy, 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 joy. So I am not living in the first century, Middle East like Paul. I am not in prison, and yet this morning I still feel like I'm standing in Paul's shoes of great joy. In fact, I got some extra shoes to put on here. Just a second. Oop. I tried to get ones as Birkenstocks as close to Paul's shoes as maybe possible. Here, just there we go. There we go. Okay, feel a little bit more Paul-like now, filled with joy. Because you see, like Paul, I too have a joy bubbling up within me because of the great good news of God's love in Jesus. I have a great joy bubbling up within me for the fond affection that I feel for this congregation, for each of you and all of you. I have a joy bubbling up within me, like Paul, for the past of this congregation and the present and the future. So let's talk about those for a second. The past, the present, and future. First, the past. This church, for a very long time. Trina, 225 years, is that right? 227, okay. This church, for a very long time, has been a place of worship and education and caring and service and a providing sanctuary for all who find their way here. They're not. We have a little historical booklet that Dave Perrin and Lynn Perrin put together a number of years ago, and I was reading that this week. And did you know that this church, for a very long time, has built new buildings, torn down old ones, reconfigured things like the paving, the parking lot, as we see right now? They have done all of those things in response to the ever-moving Holy Spirit and the ever-changing needs of the community and the congregation. Did you know that this church has long had an ecumenical spirit, partnering with people who are like us, but also people who are not like us? And there are at least three other congregations over the years that merged into become the Charlotte Congregational Church, welcoming people in a very real way who are unlike us in some ways. Did you know this church has long been a place of inclusivity and justice? In 1841, this church voted a declaration strongly opposing slavery. In 1841. In 1873, this church invited women to vote with full vote on every matter that came before the church. In 1873, long before women had the vote in our national elections. And more recently, this church has adopted a declaration of open and affirming, inviting all people who come here, no matter who they love or what they look like, and to be a place of warmth and hospitality and welcome. And did you know this church, for a very long time, through good times and challenging times, prosperous times and lean times, has endured through that all and even thrived? So thinking about our church's past, I'm filled with a deep joy that bubbles up inside me for what we have done and have been for so very long. Well, then there's the present. It's a joy I have, too, for our present, as Trina mentioned, that our narrative budget, which will be coming to your homes or available in various places around here in the coming days, that we have 9 pages in that budget filled with pictures and the story of our shared ministry together. Now, as a full disclaimer and a warning that when you read it, you might be filled with joy, because there's some pretty amazing things happening. In fact, I couldn't keep it all in my head, so I kind of wrote some things down here. We have worship and music in this church that's balancing tradition with innovation in a way that is connecting with a diversity of people. We have mission partnerships with our refugee welcome team, Lund, Jump, Malaika House, and about 20 more organizations you'll see listed there. Social justice partnerships with Pride Vermont, Gun Sense Vermont, Vermont Interfaith Power and Light, Vermont Interfaith Action, Migrant Justice, and others. Christian education programs of all kinds for children, youth, and adults, caring ministries such as Circle of Care, Circle of Prayer, Visitations, and thousands supportive interactions between us and the life of this community. Buildings and grounds, maintenance, improvements, which every single day provide this community with much-needed sanctuary, and facilities that allow us to live out our faith and calls from God. As the narrative, there's a lot more too, but as the narrative budget reflects, our programs are robust, our finances are stable, our staff is amazing, and the Spirit is moving in us and through us, filling me and maybe you too with great joy. Well, like Paul, I'm filled with joy not only over our past and present, but also our future as well. And let me say it like this, that I look around the world, and it's easy for me to be filled with cynicism and hopelessness. Maybe you as well. And so when I think about the world as it is, and I don't need to name all the particulars, you know the broken places in your life. You've read the news headlines. You know the things that aren't working. But as I think about all of that stuff that swirls around us, and I think about all of the things mentioned in our narrative budget and all the things that are happening around here and the Holy Spirit moving in us and through us, that I believe very strongly that the church needs not less of Charlotte Congregational Church, but needs more of Charlotte Congregational Church heading off into the future. I don't mean to be boorishly self-congratulatory, but every day around here, we try our hardest when we encounter hate to meet it with love. When we encounter disconnection, we try to meet that with a deep community. When we experience people who are told that they have to hide who they truly are, we try to meet that with a warm welcome and an open invitation to to be known fully and to know one another fully. And every day around here, we try to meet the needs, the concerns, the broken places, the cynicism and the hopelessness with a deep and abiding belief that in God, there is the promise of new life all the time for all of us. So putting the past, the present, and the future together, I think that makes us a whole lot like Paul's church, the Philippian church in the first century. You see, because like us, that church, because of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, they gathered into a community that ministered, that cared, that healed, that fed, that educated, that told people about God's great love. And in the process of doing that, they filled Paul's heart with deep joy and moved him to pray an incredible prayer. And because I'm filled with joy for you, for what you have been and are and will be, I pray that same prayer this morning. That our love may overflow more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that we may be able to discern what is best, may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness to the glory and praise of God. I'll end by saying just a few more things. That today, in part, as we know, is the beginning of our stewardship campaign. And I understand that it's awkward and uncomfortable to talk about money anytime, really, but certainly in the context of church. I know maybe there are some people here who are new visitors or first-time members, and here's that church again talking about money. So there are dangers and risks, but that's okay. We'll stand up nice and tall and talk about money anyway. Because money is connected to everything I've just been talking about for the last 10 to 12 minutes. Money permeates our past, it permeates our present, and I have no doubt that it will permeate our future. And there is need, there really is, for as many friends and members of this congregation as possible to support this church and all it's doing through our annual stewardship campaign. So I'll say that the narrative budget reflects a robust finances. Certainly it's true, many of you know that we've had some very generous special donations over the last couple of years that are allowing us to do the most amazing things. And yet still, the overwhelming resource that funds our day-to-day operations around here are the gifts that you all give and we all give together for our annual stewardship campaign. So I'll share personally that Deirdre and I take our giving to this church through this campaign very seriously. That we have retirement accounts and car loans, and Owen is going off to college next year. And like all of you, we've got lots of demands on our cash. And we believe in this church. We believe in you and us together. We love you and are filled with deep joy. We believe, like Trina said, that what we're doing around here is an antidote to a lot of the stuff that we see in the headlines, the cynicism and the hopelessness and the brokenness that's all over the place. And when I think about where I'm going to give my money and make the biggest impact, I can't think of a better place to do it than Charlotte Congregational Church. So in the coming days, Deirdre and I will sit down and prayerfully think about our giving. Think about the past, present, and future of this church, to think about our faith, to think about Jesus, and then to give as joyfully and generously as we can according to our means. And so to end, I will just invite you all to do the same, to consider this church, what it's been, what it is, and what it is poised to be. I invite you all to think about your own faith, you know, your own bank account, to think about what your giving has to do with your faith in Jesus, or however you define that. And then, like Deirdre and I, to give as generously and joyfully as you can according to your means. And when we do that all together, and I know we will, I have no doubt that our love will overflow more and more for the glory and praise of God. We did it. We talked about money in church. God is good, and so is Charlotte Congregational Church. Amen.